Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm Deb Balico, and I am here with Pastor Chris.
Hi, glad to be here.
Yeah, so Chris is pastor at a church called Selah Hills in Austin, Texas. It's actually Rebecca's home church, and he was able to just recently travel with Rebecca to West Africa, and so I'm going to ask him about his experience. So my first question for you, Chris, is why did you want to go to begin with? Why did you want to travel all the way across the world?
Well, as a pastor of a church, I just have a heart for people, and I have a heart for missions. And I desire for our church to have a heart for missions. And I've learned that sometimes you have to lead the way in that and go, especially if you're inviting people at your church and maybe they're not interested or going. Sometimes you just have to go yourself and lead the way. And even if I wasn't a pastor at a church, I have this sense of adventure for the Lord. I want to go see what he's up to in other places in the world. I love people, of all places. And I've never been to Africa before. And so I've for a long time, I've had a desire to go and see this area of the world I've never seen before. It's actually been for me for years, a long time coming, that I would get to go on a trip like this.
So I know that Selah Hills is a supporter of Orphan Relief and Rescue, mm-hmm. but how did the Lord bring it about for your church to choose to work with Orphan Relief and Rescue?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to share about that. Really, through Rebecca, getting to know her. We're a young church. We're celebrating our 5-year church anniversary next month. And so we're excited for that. And, when you're first starting a church, you're just trying to get the church started. You're not really thinking about missions yet. You're just trying to get it planted. And, after about a year or two of establishing the church, then we really felt like, our leadership team felt like, man, it's time to get outside. Now that we're established, let's be evangelistic. Let's be missional. And we should always be that way, but let's begin to encourage the church in that. Let's start supporting missionaries. And so, I'm a little bit of a green light, like, let's go support everyone in the world. And then our missions director is a much more cautious person, and I need that. And so I was like, hey, let's just go find a bunch of people and support them. And he was like, well, why don't we just wait and see who God brings to us? And that was so much wisdom. He had the right approach at that time. And so I said, okay, let's do that. We'll see what missionaries and places in the world that God just organically, by his Spirit, brings to us. And then along comes Rebecca and she starts attending our church, and just the mission of Orphan Relief and Rescue is rad. I would use the word rad. It's amazing. And how could you not believe in it once you hear her heart and hear what's going on over there in West Africa? And so we prayed and we said, God, bring us missionaries, bring us people we can support around the world. And whoever you bring us, we'll partner with them instead of us going and looking for people. Mm-hmm. And that was at least just our approach that we felt called to at the time. And so we support a couple missions efforts now. And one of the main ones being Orphan Relief and Rescue. And it just happened by God bringing Rebecca to Selah Hills.
So back to now, you got to go and actually see the work firsthand. And I know you wanted to go last year. It didn't work out for various reasons. But you finally got to go this year. So I was kind of curious, what was kind of the most surprising or challenging part of the trip?
Okay, most surprising or challenging part of the trip. In a way, I would look at those as even two different questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just say this first. I was so thankful I got to go this year. I really wanted to go last year for some personal reasons. I couldn't make it. And I was signed up to go on the trip, and it was just a couple weeks, even less than that, a few days before the trip that I had to pull out, and our team still went. And I cheered them on and prayed for them. But there was a part of me that was bummed because I really wanted to go. But you trust the Lord with those things, and our team went and God really used them. But I still had this desire to go. And so when the trip came up again, I knew, Lord, I got to be on that trip. Sign me up. So I was so thankful to go.
Could I cut you off real quick? So I am curious, what did the Lord have for you in that, in the sense of waiting? Because we always talk about God's timing. We always, we plan our steps. We mm-hmm. do the best. But then if he closes a door and you're kind of like, hey, God, there's like disappointment there. But it doesn't mean that you can't go. It's just not right now. And so the waiting, and then I was just curious what that was like for your own heart.
Oh, yeah.
You had a desire, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't supposed to be last year. It was supposed to be this year.
That's right. Yeah. And I have learned to trust the Lord with all those things. That's life. That's ministry. That's walking with Jesus. His will be done, not our own. And sure, there are moments where maybe you're disappointed you don't get to go on a trip. But if you really follow the Lord and you really listen to the Spirit and you're a person of prayer, you'll just lean into God's will. I heard a pastor teach something once before. He said, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken." And so just releasing it to God's will. And if he did not have me go on that trip, then he had reasons for that. And he needed me to stay back for his purposes. And even though I was bummed in the moment, you just accept it and you thank the Lord for it. And you hope for another opportunity down the road if it's God's will. And in this case, it was. And I got to go. And so, yeah, I was sad in the moment. But, you know, after you seek the Lord on those things, you just trust him with it. And you trust he's working things out in ways you could never even imagine and in ways you may never even know on this side mm-hmm. of heaven. But he had that team go for that reason. And he had me stay behind for whatever reason he saw fit. And so I say, thank you, Lord. You know best.
Yeah. So like a posture of surrender.
That's right. Amen.
Faith for sure.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Okay, so back to this trip. So it is kind of a twofold question. What was challenging? What was surprising?
Okay, challenging. Well, I got in a fight with a giant hornet in the shower, and it was the biggest hornet I've ever seen in my life. This thing was a prehistoric pterodactyl. I don't know where this thing came from. I've never seen an insect like that in my life. And I won. And just so you know, I made it back. I survived the hornet battle. I think challenging for me on a serious level, that really did happen though, but on a serious level of challenging, just seeing people that are struggling in poverty or caught up in this or that. Just, you know, I have a heart for people. And so any country you go to, anywhere in the world, if you see people that are struggling for whatever reason, you know, it gives me a heart of compassion for them. And so that was just challenging. You know, you hear about people struggling in different places in the world, but when you go and you see it, it just brings it to a new light. And so for me, it's just seeing people struggle, you know, God loves those people. I love those people and seeing them struggle or have, you know, not much breaks my heart, you know, mm-hmm. but the surprising thing is also in the midst of that is how much joy they carry too, even in the midst of that. I feel like here in America, we struggle in a lot of ways less, and yet we complain more. Or we lack joy more. And then you go to a country that doesn't have as much and it breaks your heart to see them struggle. But the surprising thing is that they're okay with it. They have peace. There's a joy there. There's an acceptance there that this is life and this is how we live it. And I don't know, it was just surprising for me to see how happy some of these kids were, even though they didn't have anything. And, you know, kids here have a lot and they're not happy. And so that for me, that was the challenge and the surprise kind of all in one is just seeing that in that country.
How about what was the most rewarding part of your trip?
Oh, two things for sure. One is getting to preach the gospel. You know, just I love that. I look for opportunities to preach the gospel in front of whoever the Lord will allow me to, and getting to go and share the good news with these different villages is one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life. To get to go to multiple villages and share the gospel, I mean, that's a privilege. Not everyone gets to go do that in this life. And you can evangelize with someone on the streets, but to get a platform to preach to a whole village, I mean, that is so rewarding. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. It's such a privilege. And then the second thing is getting to know the kids in the safe home. So rewarding to see their giftings and their callings and their personalities. They're special kids, and to build those relationships with them. And, you know, whether it's playing games or dancing or doing crafts or hanging out or doing a Bible study, you know, you spend multiple nights with them, and it's so rewarding getting to build relationships with these really special people that God loves. Mm-hmm. And your heart grows attached to them very much so, even in just a few days. Mm-hmm. And that was a rewarding part of the trip. I wasn't expecting, I guess this is rewarding and surprising. I wasn't expecting to connect with them, you know, as much as I did, and for my heart to hurt so much when it was time to leave. Mm-hmm. And it was rewarding to get to spend that time with them.
Yeah. So to give our listeners a little bit of context, whenever we have guests come and stay with us, we always stay in our orphanage safe home. So the kids that live there, they are true orphans. And so there's 66 kids. So that's who Chris is talking about, that he got to really connect with them and hear their hearts and pray for them. But then going out, we'd also take trips out into the village and into the community and any opportunity to speak to the community. So that's where he's talking about where he's able to share. We always bring in a message of God's love because that's the motivation behind what we do. So Chris, was there any of those speaking engagements, like a specific story or a certain village, how it was received? I'm curious if you have a story.
Sure. Yeah. The first village for me was so impactful because it was my first time preaching in an African village. And so I had this sense of excitement and anticipation and nervousness and fear and, you know, just all that stuff. But I was so looking forward to it. And it really stuck out to me for a few reasons. One is when we got to Africa, the first night I slept there, I had the worst nightmares I've ever had in my life. They were intense. They were vivid. I've never had nightmares like that before. And it was only that first night. It wasn't any other nights. And there was something in the spiritual world just happening that night. And, you know, and so I woke up with this sense of almost insecurity or fear. And I think the enemy was just messing with me all night. And so I woke up so many times that night. And I had this same nightmare over and over, this face, this person looking at me with this evil look. And I would pray and I'd go back to sleep. And it happened a dozen times at least. And I was worn out. And so I woke up with this sense of like, man, like, you know, I don't know, fear or something. But then, you know, by faith, we get in the van and we go to the village. And I don't know what to expect. I've never been in West Africa. I've never preached the gospel to an African village. I'm just there to be faithful. And so when I get there, I'm just saying hello to people, loving on people, you know, saying hi to the kids, shaking hands. Well, I didn't know who it was at the time, but one of the individuals came up to me and he said that he believed God was going to bless our meeting today and that he promised no one would curse me today. And I didn't know what all that meant other than to say, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. And that was just so unexpected. But also, you could tell that he meant it. He was speaking from a heart, a genuine heart of kindness. And I think what he was trying to communicate to me is that, hey, you're welcome here. And we want you here. And we're glad you're here. And you're safe here. And it was so meaningful for me to hear that after I was tormented with nightmares all night. I can't even remember a night I had been tortured with nightmares like that before. And then to hear that was just like, thank you, Lord. I received that. And then I got up and I preached the gospel, and it seemed to me like everyone in the village received Christ. I mean, every hand went up, everyone was responding. It seemed like even all the men in the front, who I'm guessing were the elders and the chief and things like that. And I mean, from the little kids to the mamas to the elders, everyone was responding to the gospel. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if anyone would respond. I'm just there to be faithful. And to see a whole village respond and giving their lives to Jesus. And I mean, it seemed like they meant it too. Some of them were very passionate in their prayer and in their response. For me, that I will always remember that. That will stick out to me as a lifetime memory. One of the highlights of my life as a Christian, as a pastor, as a minister, to get to witness a village, a whole village respond to the gospel. And this was a village, to my understanding, that Orphan Relief and Rescue hadn't been yet to, or hadn't preached the gospel yet to. I know some other villages they had already been to. And so it was a fresh village, fresh gospel message, and to see the whole village respond, I mean, that just, how could that not stand out? That'll stand out for the rest of my life. Wow. Wow, Mao.
Yeah, exactly.
As Rebecca says. So,
yeah, our staff too. Wow, Mao means like, wow, God. Like, you are so amazing what you're doing and that you want to use us and you invite us to be a part. So yeah, that is a wow, wow moment for sure. Yeah, that's, he's talking about our fifth village that we were essentially, the chiefs are inviting us into and saying, please come, please bring your programs, you know, bring your savings and loans programs to help our wives. And we bless what you are doing and we bless the Jesus. We want to know more about the Jesus that's inside of you. So that's amazing that you could be there and be a part of that. Well, you kind of were saying that that's like one of your biggest takeaways from this trip that you'll take for the rest of your life. But how would you say you'd want to like incorporate what you learned on your trip in your personal ministry or in your church? Because, you know, here you had this wow, wow moment. How do you bring that back home? How does that fuel you today for your ministry here?
Yeah, oh, great question. Well, it inspires me to encourage the church to be more missional, getting to witness it with my own eyes and getting to see these people respond. I desire so greatly for our church to get to see those things and witness those things and be a part of those things and to travel and see the world. And, you know, the mission of God, the Missio Dei, you don't have to travel across the globe to be a missionary. I mean, you can go to the the neighbor across the street, and you should. But it's just a reminder of how important it is to share the gospel and to take time out of your schedule to make those sacrifices, whatever that looks like. And so for me, coming back as a pastor of a church, I came back lit on fire for the kingdom once again. And, you know, as a pastor, sometimes you go through the mundane things where it's like, you know, we're doing the same thing on Mondays, and then we have the same services on Sundays, and it's the same times, and it's scheduled, and you do the things, and it's all beautiful. It's part of the work of God. It's not a complaint. But to break out of that mold for a couple weeks and just go see what God is up to in a different place of the world, I came back invigorated for the gospel, lit on fire for the kingdom of God. And I want our church to catch that fire, to catch that excitement, and to get behind, really to get behind Orphan Relief and Rescue, getting to see what they're doing on the ground over there, how kids really are coming back from bondage and from slavery, how people really are being fed through these feeding programs. Kids really are safe in the safe home. Villages really are responding to the gospel and receiving Jesus. I mean, I desire so greatly that our church would know more about this missions organization that we as a church already support, and that they would get behind it to a greater degree, because I've seen it with my own eyes, and it's a beautiful ministry.
That's amazing. How would you say has this experience changed your perspective of the world?
Well, beautiful people there in West Africa. They wear the brightest clothing I've ever seen anyone wear in my life. And I even got a shirt to come home and wear myself to prove it. The clothing is so beautiful. Could you ask the question again? How has this changed my perspective in the world?
Because, you know, here in America, it's obviously different culture, different context, different community. And then you travel all the way across the world and same God. We serve the same God, you know, same Jesus. How was there anything, any takeaway of this almost like a big picture of the God of the world? Has that changed or opened your eyes at all to this bigger picture of what God is ultimately doing this side of heaven?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. So the spiritual world is so real. And in the States, I'm not saying everyone does this, but as a whole in the States, the faith is watered down corporately. The reality of the spiritual world, we're kind of numb to it or ignore it. And it's very real. And I think that's one of the tactics of the enemy here in the Western culture is that he just blinds us to it in such a way that we're numb to it and we fall trapped to it. In West Africa, where I was, the spiritual world is very real and very alive. People are very in tune to the gods or the spirits or light and darkness, and they really believe it. It's not just some myth to them. It's not some story. And I believe they really are looking for truth. Like they value the spiritual world over there. And they want to know who is the ultimate God, who is the true God, who's the one that really has all the power, who's the one that created me, who's the one that can save me, who's the one that can cast this fear out of my life, who's the one that can help me with my struggles. Like they're looking for it, whether they realize it or not. And going and seeing it, it's just so evident. The spiritual world is over there. And I wish it was like that here in the States, that people were more in tune with what God is up to and the battle of light versus darkness. And over there, it's just evident. You see it. Everyone is aware of it. It's not a hidden thing. They're not numb to it. They're looking for it. And for me, that's a ripe environment to preach the gospel, because they're already aware of the spiritual world. They believe in angels and demons and gods. And so for you to go and preach the true God, the mighty God, the only God, the most powerful God, all the truth of the gospel, right? They're hungrier for it than they even know they are. But I can see it because I see them looking. I see them hungry for truth, and they believe in the afterlife. They believe in a spiritual truth, and they're just looking for what is the right answer. Who is the true God? Mm-hmm. And whereas in the States, it's so different. You know, people just don't care, or they don't believe it exists, or they're not looking into it, and they're just numbed to it. So for me, that was one of the biggest eye-openers, mm-hmm. is just the reality of the spiritual world and how we need to take that seriously. And that's another thing I would want to bring back to the States with me too, is for people to kind of wake up to that a little more and take that a little more seriously, that there's forces, dark forces all around you trying to rip you off, trying to rip your family off. You know, you need to be people of prayer. You need to be reading your word, seeking God, you know, like as Paul would say in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Like for me, that section of scripture is more real now, going to a place like West Africa and seeing it more evidently. And so that for me, that's a big perspective that I value, that I got to see.
Yeah, I love that. I love everything you just shared, because I think it's not only there's so much truth to it. It's almost like in America, we don't need God as much. And you really see it over there where there is a need, like there is a desire for the supernatural and they're hungry for it and they don't know what they don't know. So they're like, who is Creator God? Please tell me, you know, they're hungry. And like, it's inspiring because it does bring scripture to life over there. I mean, it feels like you are walking in scripture every day. And yeah, I wish the same for my own community here in America, that we would just not be so lulled to sleep, you know, but just be aware of our need for Jesus. So what would you say to, after this experience, you know, of going, of traveling to West Africa, your eyes being opened, what would you say to a pastor who might be listening in the audience? Like, how would you encourage a fellow pastor?
Yeah. Well,
in America.
Sure. Yeah. What immediately comes to my mind as you ask that question is in the Epistle of James, where he says, pure and undefiled religion is this, taking care of widows and orphans. And then I ask the question, why? And I would ask the pastor listening for him to ask the question, why? Why is taking care of widows and orphans a pure and undefiled religion? And I believe it's because those are the people that really have nothing to give back. You know, there's not much besides love or a hug. I mean, there's nothing they can give back to you ever. And so for you to minister to them is truly selfless, because you're not doing it for anything in return. They have nothing to give you in return anyways. And so if you're looking for a truly selfless ministry, take care of those who can't return a favor to you at all. And that really is the widows and the orphans, those who are completely poor, who have no one and nothing. And that's what I love about this ministry. And now that I've gotten to see it with my own eyes, they really are doing that. They're caring for those who can't give anything back, and they're doing it because they love Jesus. And so if you're looking for a ministry to support, or a missions trip to go on, or an effort to get behind, man, is there anything better than that? A religion that's pure and undefiled, an effort that is completely selfless out of pure love, agape love, for the hurting, broken people of this world. And so how could you not get behind a mission like that?
Is there anything you'd say differently to a person in a congregation of a church, or would you pretty much say the same thing, similar theme?
Well, I would tell them that the mission of God is important. If they really have the love of Christ, then they will have compassion for people in this world. And whether that's the, you know, the hurting kid in the school program that they're at in their neighborhood or on their sports team, or that's taking a trip to the see the kids on the other side of the world who don't have parents in an orphanage, that's the heart of Christ. Christ looks upon the multitude and he has compassion for them. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So if I was speaking to a congregation, I would want to stir them up in that there is a big missions field around the world. And God has a compassion for all these hurting people around the world. And there's a ripe harvest field everywhere. The problem is there's not enough Christians who are really willing to sacrifice, who are really willing to live as the great witnesses that God has called them to be. Especially here in the States. If I was speaking to a Western church here in the States, that would be the message, right? We live for our comforts. We live for our pleasures. We live for our paychecks and our boats and our cars and our homes and our sofas and our, I mean, you name the thing. And how much of us are really living for the gospel as if it really matters? And for me, that's where that scripture becomes true. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's a very small percentage of Christians that actually go on missions trips and share the gospel and live as true witnesses of Christ. And so I would want to stir that congregation up to live the mission that God has called them, to go on a missions trip, to support a missionary, to help feed a kid on the other side of the world. Like, those are Christ-like things to do. And sadly, there's not enough Christians doing it. And so I would want to stir the body of Christ in those things and encourage their faith.
So last question for you is, what are you finding yourself praying for now that you've returned? How has your prayer life changed? What are you praying for now?
Yeah, well, I'm praying, and I guess I'll just be honest, I should have been praying for orphan relief and rescue more than I was in the past. But now that I've been, And I've witnessed it. It's a regular prayer for me now. It's more impactful once you see it. And so now I'm praying for the local servants there on the ground. So the area director and the local translators and these people that I've gotten to meet that I know are part of the team of ORR. And in the past, I didn't really know them. I'd heard about them and I was praying for the organization as a whole, but not those particular individuals. But now that I've met them and I know their names and I see how and where they serve within the ministry, I'm able to pray for them by name and lift them up. And then the same thing with the kids in the orphanage safe home. Now I've gotten to know them and I've heard their prayer requests. So now it's no longer a general prayer from a distance. I know what they need prayer for because they've told me. And so I can lift those things up. And then now that I know the names of these villages and I've even met some of the elders and chiefs of these villages, it's a more meaningful prayer for me now because I can picture their faces and I've seen their villages and I'm kind of oriented on where they are in the world. And so for me, the prayer is just so much more, I guess, direct and intentional. And not that God doesn't hear vague prayers. I mean, my vague prayers before, I think were very meaningful as I was just generally praying for orphan relief and rescue. God hears that and he answers that. But now I'm praying much more specifically for people by name and for people by village. And for me, that just keeps that heart connected to them as well as I pray for them regularly. And I do very much so hope to go back on another trip, hopefully this coming year. And so now that I've been praying for people by name and by location, when I get to go back, how much more meaningful is that to get to hear how God answered their prayers and see how they've developed along the way? And so for me, it's changed my prayer life to that of being more specific for these people by name.
Well, I don't want to miss an opportunity. Are there any other stories from this trip, a story that stands out to you that you'd like to share?
Well, I'd
Or
first like to make a comment about Rebecca. She is bold and full of faith. And I see why God is using her and you and the whole team because you all are so loving as an organization, but also fearless. And God uses that. And I love how Rebecca is unashamed of the gospel and she's unafraid to go into these villages and just tell them how it is in love and say it is illegal to sell your children and you need to get your children back. And like, I mean, she goes and like right up front, just with such a boldness, just tells them what's up. And you know what I love about that is kids are coming back home. Kids are being taken out of slavery. Kids are being put on feeding programs because of her boldness. And so for me, that's more of a general story that I witnessed at every village was Rebecca getting up there with just the boldness God has given her. And she does it with love, but it's also very direct. And I think this ministry takes that kind of person. You can't go there and just be kind of soft and hope things will work out. No, when you're hoping to pull kids out of modern day slavery and trafficking, you have to go and be bold, like a roaring lion. And I see that in Rebecca. And I knew she had that in her. Because I've gotten to know her and I know about her organization, and we've gotten to know each other at church. But to see her in action on the missions field, living out her calling, I was blown away. Like the first couple times in the first couple of villages I saw her, because she was so bold and so fearless and so direct. And really, it was light confronting darkness. She was like a bright light coming up and confronting the dark issues of children being taken away into slavery. And so I praise God for those people too in those villages that heed that listen to Rebecca and hear the ministry, and they do make efforts to bring their kids back home because that is God honoring, and the organization does a great job taking care of those kids too. And so for me, that's the big story is just watching Rebecca in action. It encouraged my faith. I think it made me more bold seeing how bold she was. And sometimes you can get a little bashful when you're sharing the gospel or talking about Jesus in front of people. And then you see Rebecca just get up and go for it. And I'm like, man, it wanted me to be more bold. And so I think her boldness rubbed off a little bit in a good way. And so that to me was just wonderful to see in action. And then there's, one orphan kid that I just connected with in particular. He was a high school age boy and he, him and I just got to have lots of conversations and I got to hear his love for Jesus. And we were teaching each other's languages as best as we could. But we got to spend a lot of time together. I ended up leaving my Bible behind for him. So, you make those sweet connections that were meant for you and that person. And so I'll never forget that, getting to spend those nights talking with him about the Lord and sharing scriptures. And for me, that was just wonderful. And then there was a couple people on the ORR team that I really connected with too, that I got to have some special prayer time with and talk with a little bit more than others. And I really enjoyed that.
Oh, well, thanks, Chris, for your words of encouragement and your prayers and your support, many different levels for Orphan Relief and Rescue. And we're excited to have you go again, and we'll get you back on this podcast to hear about your next trip. So thanks, Chris, so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Deb. God bless you all. I believe in the
Yeah.
mission. We're going to continue to support it more than we ever have before, and we'll just keep going for Jesus. And so thankful for you and all that you guys do for the gospel. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.